Thank you, Bill. Good morning. Wonderful to have all of you mothers with us, and we can honor you and celebrate with you today, and that is a great privilege and honor for us. We may have some prospective mothers in here as well, some of our young ladies staying in here with us this morning, and we welcome you also, young men as well, and those who have gathered today. We thank the Lord for the privilege of gathering freely, and particularly that freedom of looking into His Word and gleaning truths for our lives. Much has been said over the years concerning praying mothers. Hank Williams is not known as a hymn writer or Christian songwriter, but he wrote these words in his song, "I Heard My Mother Praying for Me." "Last night as I lay down to sleep, I heard someone begin to weep. Then I got up just to see, I heard my mother praying for me. She was kneeling by her bed and tears of pain were being shed. She said, 'Dear God, please hear my plea. I heard my mother praying for me.' I got my Bible and sat down, and in the holy book I found the way to end this misery. Thank God my mother prayed for me. I read it on into the night and soon began to see the light. And now at last my soul is free. Thank God my mother prayed for me." President Abraham Lincoln said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life." The great preacher of past, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said this concerning his mother's prayers for him: "I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. I remember her once praying, 'Now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they perish. And my soul must bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold on Christ and claim Him as their personal Savior." In more recent years, Lorne Sanney, who for 30 years was president of the Navigators, an international organization for evangelism and discipleship training, he said, "My mother gave birth to me in a frontier house on a Midwestern prairie. On the kitchen counter, she placed a list of the ingredients necessary for my formula. At the top of the list was prayer, and that remained at the top of her list for me throughout her life. I have her to thank for firmly establishing my spiritual roots." You know, I'm glad I have a mother who prayed for me and who prays for me. I am blessed that both of my parents had mothers who prayed for them. I am privileged to have a wife who prays as a mother for my children. And I dare say that every mother here this morning is a praying mother. I want us to turn, if we could, to Matthew chapter 20 in our New Testaments. And we'd like to read about another mother who prayed. She was the wife of Zebedee. You may have heard his name. She was mother to two very famous men from the Bible, James and John, nicknamed by the Lord Jesus as sons of thunder. If we compare Matthew 27 and Mark 15, we come to the conclusion that her name was Salome. Salome, wife of Zebedee, mother of James and mother of John. She's a woman, as most mothers, who seemed to care about her sons. She wanted what was best for them. She had carried each of them for 9 months or roughly thereabouts. She had birthed them into the world, surely with pain involved. She had nursed them. She had cared for them. She had taught them. I expect she had fretted over them. And she also had rejoiced in them. Her sons were two of the 12 disciples of Jesus of Nazareth. And in fact, her sons were two of the three closest to the Lord Jesus, that inner circle that he often took apart. Along with Peter, her sons James and John were in that inner circle. And on a journey to Jerusalem with his disciples, Salome was one of the women that we read in the New Testament who ministered to the Lord Jesus, and she found an opportunity on this trip to Jerusalem. She found an opportunity to make a request on behalf of her boys. She, in essence, was praying. The Lord Jesus was right there. Matthew chapter 20, and jump into the story with me if you would at verse 20. Matthew 20 and verse 20. Then came to him, that's to the Lord Jesus, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The mother of Zebedee's children came to the Lord Jesus with her two sons, or two of her sons, James and John. We find that she was a praying mother, in this sense, praying right to the Lord Jesus, who was physically there on the earth. And she came to him. We read there in verse 20, she approached him. That's what moms do when they pray. They come before the Lord, and they bring their children with them on their hearts and in their minds and on their lips. She came and she, we read here, worshiped the Lord. Very likely she got down at his feet. Maybe she knelt. Maybe she laid down before him. The theme of our assembly this year is to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And she was there. She expressed a recognition of his greatness, of his position. And then we see that she expressed a desire. She asked something, literally, from the Lord Jesus. She made a request from him. Now, these are some pretty good principles right there, but I'd like for us to look at the passage this morning, and moms, I'd like for us to find some other principles that we can glean from this story, this historical event with Salome and her two sons and the Lord Jesus, and glean some principles for your prayers as a mother. I dare say that the things we're going to look at this morning is something that not only mothers can pray. As I studied this, I prayed the same thing for my children. And I think we can all pray this for one another, actually, these things, but in a special way appropriate for moms to pray for their children. I'm going to warn you right up front. We're going to look at five principles this morning, and all five of these principles are going to be directly at odds with the culture in which you are seeking to raise your children. And moms, the culture in which your children are living. I know many of your children are grown. You can still pray for them. And you should still pray for them. And I believe you do. But the things we're going to look at, they're very much going to be swimming upstream against the way that this world operates. So know that. But know that God is able to do far beyond what we can ask or can even imagine. When you pray for your child, mothers, when you pray for your children, principle number one, keep the big picture in view. Keep the big picture in view. And we see that in verses 17 through 20. We didn't read those verses 17, 18, and 19. But look at them with me now, because they give the context in which Salome came before the Lord Jesus to make a request on behalf of her sons. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. So on this journey, as they're traveling, and Salome and the other women who seek to minister to the Lord Jesus and his disciples as they go about serving God, she and the disciples and these other ladies and the Lord Jesus are making their journey, and the Lord Jesus takes the disciples apart, and he once again predicts what is going to happen to him. It's not a pretty picture. Not a pretty picture at all. He's going to be betrayed to the religious leaders, and the religious leaders are going to turn him over to the Gentiles, to the Romans. And we see what is going to be done there to him. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be crucified. And then in victory, he's going to be resurrected. But he is trying to help the disciples to understand what's ahead. And as he does that, I'm sure the word gets spread among the rest of those who were in the group traveling. And you notice there in the King James, the very first word in verse 20 is the word "then." And the thought there in the Greek language in which this was written is "at that time." Right at that time, as the Lord Jesus is sharing what he's getting ready to go through, Salome comes up with a request. You know, her children are on her heart. You know, it's very easy, moms, to zero in on your child or your children as if he or she or they are the very center of the universe. It's easy to do. Ben Matthew was the speaker at the youth rally hosted here back in April by our assembly. And Ben's from, he's up in Dubuque, Iowa now, grew up in Canada. But he was sharing about a friend of his. And his friend, whenever he meets someone, he says, "Have you ever seen the movie Rudy?" Some of you may have seen that or heard about it. It's about a football player at Notre Dame who never got to play, didn't even sit on the bench until the last game of the season, and when he finally got in, the last game of his senior year. But the movie's about Rudy. Well, anyway, his friend says, "Have you ever seen the movie Rudy?" And if you say yes, he says, "I was in that movie." They say, "Really? What part did you play?" And he said, "Well, you know, during the scenes when they were having the football games, I was in the stands, along with probably 50,000 other people. I was in the movie." "Well, sorry, bud, but the movie wasn't about you. You were there, yes, and that's great, but the movie wasn't about you." And you know what, moms? As special as your children are to you, and as special as they are to God, they're not the focus of the movie. They're not the center of the universe. Because there's only one person who can be the center of the universe. Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the creator of all things. The one who we read in Colossians 1:18 is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is the one who in all things must have the preeminence. He is to have the first place. He is to be the focus, even of your prayers, as you bring your children before the Lord. He's to be the focus at that time, right then. When the Lord Jesus had shared his approaching suffering, when that should have been foremost in her mind, Salome is seeing the trees rather than the forest, and that's very understandable. I don't blame her for that. I'm not criticizing her for that. I'm just saying that, mothers, we can learn a lesson from that. To be careful to keep the big picture in view. With all of the burden of her heart on those children, she was, in a sense, insensitive to the near future of the Lord Jesus. And His person and His work should provide the backdrop for all of your prayers for your children. You know, really, it's only because of His person and work that we are able to come into the presence of God and to give our request with thanksgiving. It's because He has made the way for us to enter in through His own body. He gave Himself. And now He's there at the right hand of the Father, and He is interceding. He's going on our behalf to the Father with the request of our hearts. And one day, He's going to take all the believers to be with Himself, and we're going to be functioning then in His presence as that bride of Christ. He's the King of Kings. The big picture, not the one aspect, your child. The Lord Jesus is to be first, and our prayers should be centered on Him. You see, it's all about His glory. It's not all about the glory of your child. Though you care, and though you should, don't miss the big picture, Mom. It's easy to do that. Again, I don't criticize you for it if you do. But just a principle to glean. Don't miss the big picture. The Lord Jesus is the focus. And your child, your desire should be for your child to function in life in such a way that the Lord Jesus is glorified, that the attention goes to Him. That's number one. Number two, when you pray for your child, when you pray for your children, don't overemphasize this material world. You know, it's very easy to major on the minors. I want you to imagine a make-believe mom. And she's at the ball game and all of her friends are sitting around and her son's playing on the baseball team. And it's the bottom of the final inning. And his team is down by 3 runs and the bases are loaded. And you know what's coming, don't you? And he gets up there and he hits a home run, a grand slam home run. And his team wins. And as he runs around the bases, his mother turns to her friend and says, "I told him to get a haircut before this game." She's majoring on the mind. He just hit a home run. He just won the game. And she's thinking about his hair. It's easy for us to major on the minors. It's easy for us to get caught up in this world. Notice there in verse 21, her request. She comes to the Lord Jesus and she says, I want to ask you something for my sons. And He says there, "What wilt thou?" What do you want? What is your desire? What is your request? And she says unto Him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." Now, at our first reading, we might think that's a pretty spiritual prayer request. You know, she's thinking about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. But you know what? She, I'm sure, was like the great majority of people in that time, even those who were following the Lord Jesus. They were looking for a kingdom, oh yes. But they were looking for a kingdom here and now. You see, they were under the rule of the Roman Empire. The Caesars were over the Jewish people. And they were looking for that one that the Old Testament prophets had spoken so gloriously of, that one who would come and set up His kingdom. And so they're thinking, He's the one that's going to overthrow the Roman government and is going to set up the kingdom here on the earth. And Israel, again, is going to be a glorious power. So she's thinking about the very near future right here and now in this life, in this present material world. And her request is that her sons will have the most prestigious positions in this life. It is a spiritual kind of request, but it's focused on the material. And it's so easy for us moms, isn't it? All of us, to focus our prayers for our children on the material Do your prayers for your children tend to focus on the here and now? Is it about primarily their success in this world? It's easy to overemphasize success right now. It's easy to overemphasize success from the perspective of this material world, this culture in which we live. It's easy to pray for our children that they will be in positions of power and prestige, that they'll have the prominent place, that fame will come their way, that they will be admired, that they will do well. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray those things. They can be used to good ends for God. But I'm saying we can overemphasize that. That can become our primary focus rather than the emphasis that the Lord Jesus had. In John chapter 8, he says, "You're from beneath, you're from this world, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." In John chapter 18, he's not said it at the point in which our narrative is taking place, but he would say it later when he was being tried before Pilate. He would say, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should be delivered? I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from here?" The Lord Jesus went on to tell Pilate, "I came here to bear witness to the truth. And everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." The Lord Jesus says, this material world is not what it's all about. Salome, he could have said, this world is not the focus. Success here is not the bottom line. He came to bear witness to the truth. And moms, as you pray for your children, I encourage you to focus on them being witnesses to the truth here. Not that they would be prominent here. Not that they would have those great positions here. I'm not saying that you don't pray that your children would do their very best. Do pray that. But don't let that be the focus, the emphasis. Don't overemphasize this material world. I encourage you to look in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 and in Colossians 1 and find there what Paul prayed for believers in Ephesus and Colossae. He prayed things like this: that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that their eyes of understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. He prayed that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would grant them to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in their hearts by faith, that they, being rooted and grounded in love, might be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. He told the ones in Colossae, "I don't stop praying for you, desiring that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, that you might be fruitful in every good work, that you might increase in the knowledge of God, that you might be strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Wow, what a list of prayer requests that we can pray for our children. Don't overemphasize this material world. A third principle: moms, as you pray for your sons and your daughters, value the benefits of suffering. Value the benefits of suffering. Look at verse 22. Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask." He says, you don't realize what you're asking for. "Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said unto him, "We are able." Salome and her sons didn't really know what they were asking for. Their request for position in the kingdom was an unwitting request for suffering. And Jesus asked them concerning their ability to drink a cup and to be baptized with a baptism. Later in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus would pray. And he would have Peter and James and John. Peter and those two sons of Salome and Zebedee. And he would take them deeper into the garden, and then he himself would go further still and he would pray. He would pray to his Father, "O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He thought of the cup of suffering that he would face physically, emotionally, mentally, but most of all, spiritually. When he was arrested and Peter would pull out his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, the Lord Jesus would turn to Peter and say, "Peter, put your sword into your sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" He was going to drink that cup of suffering. He said to James and John and Salome, "Are you able to drink the cup of suffering?" The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, "I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how I am straitened," or how I am compelled, "until it be accomplished." Now, he had been baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptizer, his cousin. But that's not the baptism he was speaking of. Rather, a baptism into great sufferings. The Lord Jesus said, "Are you able to drink this cup? Are you able to suffer for me?" They said, "We are." Of course, all the disciples said, "We are," didn't they? And we read that when the Lord Jesus was arrested, they all forsook him and fled. But they had that intent, yes. And the Lord Jesus said, "You will. You will." And truly, James, Salome's son, was killed by Herod, killed with the sword. In Acts chapter 12, we read about it. John, her other son that was there at this time, in Revelation 1, we read about how he was a companion in tribulation, exiled on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yes, they would suffer. The Lord Jesus knew that. And he called them, as it were, into the fellowship of his sufferings. That's a phrase that Paul used in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, sharing together in his sufferings." Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 17, "If we suffer with him, we will also be glorified with him." He wrote much the same thing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:12. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." You see, it comes with the territory of being a follower of the Lord Jesus. Philippians 1:29 says, "It's given unto you in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." And our normal prayer for our children is they will be protected from suffering. That's understandable, and that is appropriate. But could we possibly overlook the fact that God may have suffering in his purposes for our children? You know, we accept that, moms, don't we, in other areas of life. "Now, son, you got to eat that spinach. It's good for you." No, it doesn't taste too well, but it's good for you. Eat it. Suffer. "We're going to the doctor today." I know you don't like to go to the doctor, and sometimes the nurse gives you a shot, but sweetheart, it's for your own good. "Sometimes I've got this switch in my hand. And I'm doing, it hurts me worse than it hurts you." It's for your own good. There's suffering. We realize that in other areas of life, that suffering is beneficial for our children. And God may have some suffering in store for your children to shape them, to prepare them, to purify them, to use them as an example or a testimony, or maybe to keep them in line spiritually. Are we willing to see our children sacrifice everything for Jesus Christ? Are we willing to go to God in prayer and give our children to Him, even though it means they may live without some of the comforts that we want for them, even if it means they may have to forfeit some of the affluence that we've desired for them, even if it means they might have to give up some of the conveniences that are so nice and we want them to have? What if it means for them to live in dangerous circumstances? Are we willing? Moms value the benefits of suffering. Fourthly, when you pray for your children, entrust your children to the Heavenly Father. Mom, some of you remember the first time you ever left your child, especially your first child, first time you ever left your child with a babysitter that wasn't maybe your mom or your mother-in-law. Maybe even remember the first time you left the poor child with your husband. But you remember that, what it was like to let go of that child. Maybe you still struggle with that. Leaving the child. Some of you are saying, hey, I'm ready to get away. What are you talking about? But maybe that first time to leave them there in the care of another person can be tough. But you're entrusting your child to that person. In verse 23 of our passage, notice what the Lord Jesus said about halfway through. He says, to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Salome wanted the seats on the right hand and on the left. And the Lord Jesus said, you know what? Those seats are reserved for those for whom the Father has prepared them. You see, the Father truly knows best, the Heavenly Father. And He sovereignly works all things after the counsel of His own will. We read in Ephesians chapter 1. And in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18, we read that God has set the members of the body, every one of them, as it pleased Him. And so God is arranging the affairs of your child's life, of your children's lives, and you can trust Him to properly care for your child. You can trust Him to lead them down the proper path. You can trust Him to give them the right reward. And He will. He'll reward them righteously in a coming day. The Lord Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. He prayed that to His Heavenly Father. And you can pray that too, moms. Lord, I want the best for my child. Lord, I want my child to serve You. Lord, I want my child to have the highest place. I want the best for my child. I want the most for my son, for my daughter. But Lord, not my will. Lord, I want Your will for him. I want Your will for her. Romans 8 tells us this. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You can trust your boy to Him. You can trust your girl to Him. You can trust your children to Him. Just as Hannah, that godly mother of the Old Testament, turned her little boy Samuel over to God. She said, when the child is weaned, I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. She said, God has given me this son, and she literally gave him back to the Lord to work there in the temple with Eli the priest. You may not be called to do that, but God says, give me your child. Give me your son, your daughter. Put him in my hands. Put him in my arms. I'll take care of them. You can trust me. I'll lead them in the right way. Mom, you still do your job. Dad, you still do your job. But give them to me and allow me to lead them. Allow me to reward them. Salome, it may not be the seat on the right. And Salome, it may not be the seat on the left. But you can be sure that the Heavenly Father will rightly reward your sons for their service. One last principle, moms, as we close up in verses 24 to 28. As you pray for your son, as you pray for your daughter, can I encourage you to ask the Lord to make your child a humble servant. A humble servant. Notice there in verse 24, and when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. You see, there's 12 disciples, 12 followers of the Lord Jesus, and these two, and I don't know if it was the mom's idea to get the boys to go, or if it was the son's idea to get mom to come along for a little help there. But either way, the other 10 found out about it, and they were not too happy with James and John. You see, they realized, or felt like correctly, that James and John were trying to weasel in and get one up on them. You see, they all 12, it seems, were jockeying for position. And so the Lord Jesus, in His loving, straightforward way, takes them aside for another instructional time. And He tells them, you know what? In this world, here's the way things work. Those who are in authority take advantage of those who are under them in authority. He said, that's what happens. Verse 25. You know that the princes of the Gentiles, those here of the nations, those who were in positions of authority, they exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. The ones who were on top, they take advantage of the ones who were down lower. And as you go down the hierarchy, the same is true. That's the way of the world. They use that to obtain and maintain power and position. But the Lord Jesus said, my way is a different way. My way is a different way. Verse 26, it shall not be so among you, but whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. In other words, the Lord Jesus said, in my kingdom, things are different. In my kingdom's greatness and position follow humble servanthood. He says, you want your child to be great? Then pray that your child will be like a hired servant to others for God. You want your child to be first? Then pray that your child will be like a slave to others for God. That your son or your daughter will approach life not with the attitude of who can I get one up on, but rather how can I serve? Now that doesn't mean that your child can't be a CEO. That doesn't mean that your child can't be the president. That doesn't mean that your child can't be number one in his or her class. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that your desire for your child will be that he or she, whatever position they have in life, is that he or she would have that attitude of humility, that attitude of being like the Lord Jesus, that attitude of desiring the best for others and sacrificing his or her life, that others may know the truth of the Lord Jesus, that others may see Jesus Christ lived out in flesh in a life here on the earth. That is your prayer. The Lord Jesus uses His own example. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but rather to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. He came to serve. He came to give His life. Ask the Lord to humble your child, to grant to your child the attitude of humility, to teach your child the value of putting others ahead of themselves, to convict your son and your daughter of the eternal blessing of meeting needs for others, even when it means having less for yourself or appearing less yourself. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Moms, when you pray for your child, keep the big picture in view. The Lord Jesus is the focus. Mom, when you pray for your children, don't emphasize the material world, but rather emphasize the spiritual. When you pray for your child, value the benefits of suffering Not that you put your child in a situation where he or she will suffer, but that you pray, Lord, if it's your will, entrust your child to the Heavenly Father. Ask the Lord to make your child a humble servant. I'd like to close with a poem this morning written by Ruth Bell Graham called Had I Been Joseph's Mother. And I think it ties in very nicely to what we're looking at this morning and how we may pray one way. God may have something else. Might we learn to pray as the Lord Jesus would have us pray? Had I been Joseph's mother, I'd have prayed protection from his brothers. God keep him safe. He is so young, so different from the others. Mercifully, she never knew there would be slavery and prison too. Had I been Moses' mother, I'd have wept to keep my little son, praying she might forget the babe drawn from the water of the Nile. Had I not kept him for her, nursing him the while, was he not mine? And she but Pharaoh's daughter? Had I been Daniel's mother, I should have pled, give victory. This Babylonian horde, godless and cruel, don't let him be a captive. Better dead, Almighty Lord. Had I been Mary, oh, had I been she, I would have cried as never mother cried. Anything, oh God, anything but crucified. With such prayers importunate, my finite wisdom would assail infinite wisdom. God, how fortunate infinite wisdom should prevail. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you in prayer at the close of this meeting, Father, we confess to you that we have spoken of very difficult things. Father, we've spoken this morning to mothers whom I have no doubt love their children more than I can comprehend. Father, I have no doubt that the mothers here this morning pray for their children. And yet, Father, we have looked at your word and we've seen this mother who prayed, Father, with great intentions, love for her children. And yet, Father, we've learned some very important lessons about praying for our children. And yet, Lord, we confess they go not only against the grain of our culture, Father, they often go against the very grain of our own humanity. Father, I pray for the mothers here today. Father, I pray for those mothers who know you personally and they want your best for their children. Lord, I pray that from these brief thoughts this morning, they will be able to glean help for their own prayer lives as they pray for that son, that daughter. Father, I pray for each one here this morning who has a care and a concern about children, maybe a grandchild, maybe a nephew or a niece, maybe a child in the neighborhood, maybe an at-risk child. Father, maybe a child that you have brought across their path. Father, their concern. I pray that all of us might learn better how we can pray for those children in such a way that will be more in line with your heart. Father, for any who may be here this morning who do not know this glorious, lovely one, the Lord Jesus, we pray that their hearts will be convicted. Father, they will see their need of this one who truly was betrayed and turned over to the Roman authorities, who was mocked and beaten and crucified for our sins. Father, we thank you that he rose again. Father, we come to you in prayer believing that you're able to do far beyond what we can ask or think. And we just commend all of these mothers, these future mothers, grandmothers, Father, everyone here today, male and female alike, we commend ourselves to you and pray that you will do your work in our hearts. And we ask these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.